it is the Holy Spirit that comes and speaks to your heart. The Holy Spirit that opens your heart, that speaks to your heart. That is the instrument that God uses.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Call of Christ and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The Call of Christ. Today's sermon is The Call of Christ. And it is going to be, this is going to be a long verse. Has everybody got their Bibles? This is going to be a long segment. This is going to be in John chapter 11, verses 14 through 29. I'm reading out of the ESV version today. This story goes over the story of Lazarus, who had died. He was the one whom Jesus loved. Praise the Lord. Say amen when you get it. I put it on the screen here so that you guys can easily follow along. This counts for Lazarus who died. Verse 14 starts, "Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.' So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.' Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world.' When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, 'The teacher is here and is calling for you.' And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him." Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for this moment that we may share it. Lord, I pray that you will anoint me to do your bidding today, to speak your words, O Lord. I pray that you will fill this place with your presence and that you will open our hearts to receive in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. Well, that was a long passage, wasn't it? But we're coming to a point, amen? Listen to this. "And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him." Verse 29. Today we shall see that the Lord has many ways in which he calls us. We shall learn that we never know beforehand when Christ will call us. However, when Christ does call us, it will be in his timing. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you remember where you were when Christ called you? I know where I was. Was it at a time that you expected it to be? He calls you in the most awkward times, some of the most hard times, some of the most unusual times. Praise God. But first, Christ calls people to himself. Listen, Christ does not call you to riches, to glory, to self-satisfaction. Christ calls you into a relationship, and he calls you to himself. He doesn't call you to a religion. He doesn't call you to a work. He doesn't call you to a situation. He calls you to himself. Praise the Lord. John 11:28 says, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. When God calls you, it is a personal call. He's touching your heart. He's speaking to you, and he's calling you to himself. This is a call to peace. An inner peace, yes, but a peace with God. You see, when Christ calls us, he's trying to make peace between you and God. The only way that you can make peace between you and God is by accepting the sacrifice that Christ has made for you on the cross to satisfy God's anger of sin. Amen. So this is a call to peace. This is a call to a guiltless conscience. This is a call to a guiltless conscience. Some of us feel guilty about some of the things that we've done in our past. But you know what? Through Jesus Christ, all of that can be removed. All of that guilt can go if you accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. The guiltless conscience can be cleaned. Amen? This is a call to a full pardon from sin. How many of you know that not some of your sins are forgiven? Not a few of your sins are forgiven, right? But all of your sins. But see, we look back on our life and we think, I don't know about that. Sometimes we look back on something we did that we feel is so horrible that God couldn't forgive us for it. Sometimes we look back in our lives and we're still feeling the consequence of sin from our past. Listen, God doesn't always erase the consequence of your sin, right? But he does remove the guilt. You ain't getting away with nothing here on earth. Praise the Lord. You go rob a bank, God will forgive you. But you're probably going to jail. Amen? Okay. But listen, you have been pardoned. You've been pardoned from all of your sin. This is a call to a new life in Christ. This is so important because, listen, once Jesus calls you and you answer the call, you got to remember something. Now you have a new life in Jesus Christ. Now you are to be the ambassador for Christ. Now you are to allow him to live through you. There's an old bumper sticker that says, what would Jesus do? Are you doing what Jesus would do? That's the question I have. Are we doing what Jesus would do? Well, Jesus would proclaim the gospel. Jesus would bless people. Jesus would forgive people. Jesus would conduct himself godly-like. Amen? A new life in Christ. Before we answer the call of Christ, we need to be ready to understand what this call is all about. It's not about just getting things. It's not about working things out. It's about a new life in Christ. Not everybody's ready for that, amen? The rich young ruler in the Bible wasn't ready for it, was he? The Lord knew what was causing him problems, and that was things. And he had to give up those things and sell all of them and give the money to the poor. That was his new life in Christ. That was how he was going to obtain that, because those were obstacles. When you come to Christ, he's ready to give you a new life. But there's some cleaning up he's got to do. And you can't get clean before you come to Jesus. You got to let Jesus do all the cleaning. And believe me, there's some stuff on us that God has to scrub off to get that new life. And sometimes he uses sandpaper, doesn't he? And sometimes that sandpaper comes in the form of other people. Lord, why is this difficult person in my life? They're sandpaper. Iron sharpens iron. The next time you think you have an enemy, you might be having an ally. Perhaps God is using them to sandpaper off some stuff in your life so that he can smooth you out. Number two, Christ calls people in the darkest of hours. Oh, I love this. John 11:21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But in John 11:15, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. Praise God. He comes and calls us in the dark hours. The dark hours. And he actually says, I was glad for your sake that I wasn't there so that you would believe. Death, tragedy, hurt, pain. The Lord can and often will use our pain and suffering to glorify his name in order that we may believe. Oh my gosh. If only that wasn't necessary, praise the Lord. The Lord can and often will use our pain and suffering. Does that mean he causes it? No. Man, we don't need anybody's help to get into trouble, do we? We're really good at it all by ourselves. God allows suffering in our lives. He allows it. Remember this. He allows this so that his power might be revealed and thereby others would believe. Job suffered. Job in the Bible suffered. And we have a book about it, don't we? Job suffered so that the Lord could work something out in the Bible so that others may believe. Understand that your suffering could be helping somebody else. I know that doesn't sound fun, does it? Did I say it was fun? No. Did I say you would enjoy it? No. But when you look back on it, you could count it all joy. Praise the Lord. God often waits until the last minute to rescue us so that there will be no mistake about his power. Oh, I know what you guys think. Oh, please, God, take it away yesterday. Lord, let me out of this last month. I can't take another day. But you know, if he rescues you too quick, you could just take the credit for it, couldn't you? If God rescues you too fast out of something, you could explain it away. Well, I know exactly how that happened. I made it happen. I did it. But no, he'll wait till the last minute to rescue you so that when it happens, you'll know it was a miracle. So God often waits until the last minute to rescue us so that there will be no mistake about his power. So that at the last second, it all works out. And you tried everything you tried, and it didn't work. You called all of your friends, and it didn't work. Lazarus was dead in the tomb 4 days. That's pretty dead. There was no mistake. That's about as dead as you can get. Rotten dead. And he waited. And he waited. And he waited another day. And he waited another day. Man, by the fourth day, you've given up hope. They're dead. They ain't coming back after this. But Jesus showed up. When Jesus shows up, he can resurrect anything. And what is he waiting for? He's waiting for you to give him the glory. If only we would start giving God the glory for the victory before the 4 days is up, before the 4 weeks, before the 4 months. If only as soon as the problem happens, we say, thank you, Jesus, that you're going to show up and you're going to fix this, oh Lord. You're going to resurrect this. That should be our attitude at the beginning of the storm, not after it's over. It's easy to praise God when the storm is over and he's gotten you through it. Real faith is praising God before he comes to the resurrection. Trouble is often the only door through which Jesus can get to our hearts. What a shame. What a shame that God has got to let you drop to your knees in despair before he can get our attention. It's got to be bad, bad, bad before we can see his good, good, good. It shouldn't be that way. What if the only time you could get your children's attention is when you had to give them a spanking? Would that make you happy if every time your children learned something is when they got hurt? As a parent, that's horrible. And you don't want it for your children, but if you know that that's the only way that they're going to listen to their mommy and their daddy, that parrot is going to allow them some trouble. And they're going to say, I told you so. You need to be listening to your mother. You need to be listening to your dad. Well, that's how God works with some of us, because we're stiff-necked, hard-hearted, thick-headed individuals who don't want to learn anything until the trouble comes and we have no choice and he's got our attention then. So some people, that's the only door that God can get to their heart through is trouble. I don't want that to be the only door that God can reach my heart. Listen, the reason why the Lord put churches in place, put preacher men in your life, put ministers in your life is so that trouble doesn't have to come for you to hear the word and to learn from it. He doesn't want that to happen. That's why we put our children in schools. We want them to learn something, right? We want to give them every chance they can get to learn something. But when they don't learn and they get expelled from school, praise the Lord, trouble happens and they have to learn from that lesson. And if they still don't learn, what happens? They become rejects of society, right? They become lawbreakers because trouble couldn't even reach them. What happens to lawbreakers? They're cast out, right? You think that God lets lawbreakers into his kingdom? Do you think that God allows people who, even through trouble, don't listen to his calling into his kingdom? Well, then heaven would be just like this place here, and this place is a mess. Why would he start it all over again up there? He's not letting them in. So unfortunately, trouble is often the only door through which Jesus can get to our hearts. Number three, he calls people in many different ways. See, the way God called me may not be the way he calls you. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. When Jesus calls you, you're going to know his voice. But now you all know that just like sheep, I like the way the Lord refers to us as sheep, right? Sheep wander off, don't we? We hear our master's voice, but we don't always listen to it, do we? My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Christ calls people through preaching of the word. Praise the Lord. One way he does it is Christ calls people through preaching of the word. Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 13 through 15 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Listen, church is set up so that people can hear the preaching of the word. And I promise you something, not everybody that shows up to church is a Christian. And before you look at your neighbors, get a mirror out. Because you want to look at yourself before you look at your neighbor. Amen? You better check yourself. Not everybody that comes to church is a Christian. But the Lord's got them here for a reason, to hear the preaching of the word. But if they don't have a preacher, the word doesn't get preached. And if the word doesn't get preached, the people don't hear. And if the people don't hear, they don't get saved. Faith comes by hearing. Amen. That's why your church is so important. That's why we can't just sit here and say, well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and I don't need to worry about the church. What about the people who are going to be coming through this door in the future who have never heard the gospel? The people that might wander off the street and come in here and sit down and say, Lord, I never knew. Thank you for saving me. Praise God. That's what this church is all about. It's about reaching out and getting new disciples so that we may love and nurture them. Christ calls people through his providence, care, and guidance. See, God will take care of you. He will take care of you even when you think that you cannot make it through another month because the bills are too high. the pressure is too hard. But he will guide you and he will care for you if you open your ears spiritually. Open your eyes spiritually. Open your heart to what he's got to say. He will call you through his guidance. He will call you through his care. There are people I know that came to Jesus because they came to church and people prayed for them and a miracle happened for them because God was caring for them. He was guiding them and they believed. They believed because of his care, because of his guidance. Christ calls people through tragedy, death, sickness, etc. There are tragedies in life. God will use tragedy. He will use death. Sometimes when we lose people, we come closer to God because there is no one and nothing that can fill that void but him. And then there's sickness. Boy, people start praying when they're sick, don't they? No matter what circumstance he may use, Christ always calls us through the Holy Spirit. Understand that it's not the sickness, the tragedy, the death, the event that calls you. Ultimately, it is the Holy Spirit that comes and speaks to your heart. The Holy Spirit that opens your heart, that speaks to your heart, that is the instrument that God uses, aside from the circumstance. See, the circumstance can be used to soften your heart, to get your attention, to get you focused, so that you can hear the Holy Spirit. But it's not death talking to you. It's not sickness talking to you. It's not pain talking to you. It's not suffering talking to you. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Make no mistake. It's the Holy Spirit. He will always call us through the Holy Spirit. John 16, verses 7 and 8 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." This is Jesus talking, by the way. "For if I do not go away, the Helper," that's the Holy Spirit, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Praise God. Do you understand when the Holy Spirit is talking to you, he's got three things on his mind? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what he's, listen, that's the conversation between you and the Holy Spirit. Not a whole lot of talking there about anything else, is there? "Lord, I want a new car to go joyriding." Well, let's talk about these three things instead. That's how he calls you. That's what he wants to deal with. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And last but not least, Christ is calling you. Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." You know that Jesus knocks at our hearts? He stands at the door of our heart, and he continually knocks and knocks and knocks and knocks. So many people hear that knock, but they don't answer. They actually hear it. They know God is knocking on their door, but they got a reason why they're not coming to answer that door. "Well, I just feel so good in the way I'm living right now. I'd hate to give all that up." I'm going to tell you something. You don't give anything up when you come to Jesus. He cleans up. You don't give up. Jesus does the cleaning up. The thing that you're hanging on could be the thing that's stopping Jesus from walking through that door. The thing that you want so bad could be the thing blocking Jesus' way into your heart. But he's calling you nonetheless. He's calling you nonetheless. He's calling you to confession of sin. That's the first thing he's calling you to. 1 John 3:9 says, "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God." Listen to that. I love the way the ESV says this. "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning." Listen, I still sin. And if any one of you out there say you don't sin, you're a liar. I still sin, but I don't make it into a practice. When I make a mistake, I say, forgive me, Lord. I confess it. And he forgives me. He gives me the strength not to practice it, not to do it again, to move on. Now, I know we have some perfect churches out there where nobody sins at those places, right? You all seen them, right? You all been to a couple, I bet. Found out that this ain't for you. We have a church here where we do make mistakes, but we don't practice them. Amen? We shouldn't be. We shouldn't be, right? Because why? God's seed abides in us. That seed is growing. How's that seed grow? Through the preaching of the word. When you come here, that seed is in you. I preach to you, and the Lord is watering that seed and is growing you stronger and stronger. God is calling you to repentance of sin. God is calling you to repentance of sin. Acts 17:30. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Listen, there was a time before Jesus that God could overlook the ignorance of people, but now Christ is here. And you have no excuse to give up. Because see, in the Old Testament, you couldn't fulfill the commandments. You can't do the Ten Commandments. But now you have Jesus Christ. You have grace. You are living in the era of grace. You don't have to work your way to heaven. Jesus is going to take you there. Amen. He knows the way. He'll get you to where you need to be. So there's no excuse. Well, I just can't do it, God. You don't have to do it. Jesus did it for you already. Why aren't you believing on the one I sent? He's calling you to a new birth. John 3:3, Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're talking about a spiritual birth. See, before Jesus, your spirit was dead. Your body was walking around, and you thought you were alive, but spiritually you were dead. But when Jesus comes in, he quickens our spirit. He fills you with the Holy Spirit, and you become alive in Christ. Amen? I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life. You might have the flesh, but you don't have the spirit. You're dead in your transgressions, the Bible says. You have to be born again. I come and baptize with water, but the one that comes after me baptizes with fire. The Lord will set you on fire. He's calling you to a holy life. Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Listen, God is not in this church. He's in our hearts. This is just a building. When you become a Christian, the Lord lives inside of you. And when we commit sins, and we do not present our bodies as a living sacrifice, we are defiling the temple of the Lord. That's why he is asking us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. See, he didn't ask you to die. Jesus already died. You don't have to. But you have to die to yourself. That means you have to give up some things that doesn't work in the Christian life. That means you have to cut out some movies that are not good for your eyes to see. That means you need to turn off some music that your ears shouldn't be hearing. That means that you need to start speaking some language that isn't foul. That means that you got to control your temper. That means you got to ask the Lord to be a blessing to others and not just live for yourself anymore. I promise you this, if you keep living for yourself, you're going to lose your life. Hold on to Jell-O. The tighter you hold on to it, the more of it squeezes out of your hand, right? He's calling you to an eternal life with him. John 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus wants you to be with him. But remember what we talked about? Our first point was Jesus calls you to himself. He's a jealous God. He wants you all to himself. And here's what he says. I will come again and will take you to myself that where I am, you may be also. Don't you love it when a friend that you absolutely love comes by and picks you up to take you along with them? Makes your heart melt, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Even when you, especially when you don't deserve it from that friend, and they've forgiven you for all the wrong you did to them. But there they are, honking their horn. Hey, get in, we're going. You're coming with me today, because where I'm going, you're going, buddy. That's the invitation that God has for us. I'm coming to take you with me so that wherever I'm at, you're going to be there with me. We're pals. We're friends. We have made peace because he's called you to peace with God. There's no more arguing, no more strife, no more fighting, no more disagreement. We are lined up in peace with God, and now Jesus can come and take us to be where he is, because now you're welcome in his house, because now you're no longer a lawbreaker, right? Now you are forgiven. Jesus is calling you that he might save your soul, that he might make your life useful for God, that you might dwell with him eternally. Where I am, ye may be also. Will you answer his call? Will you answer his call?
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.